Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Well, we expect it of our leaders. We try to build it in our children. We lack it at times in our lives. And sometimes we have too much of it or the wrong kind of it. It's confidence. And in this hymn, Jesus Lives the Victories 1, every stanza ends with the phrase, "This shall be my confidence." What is the this in that particular line? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Easter Monday. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be focusing on Jesus' resurrection for the next 2 hours. We'll begin by studying the Easter hymn, Jesus Lives, The Victory is Won, with Dr. Arthur Just. Then we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, talking with Dr. Carl Fikancher about the resurrected Jesus appearing to his disciples in John chapter 20. Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, associate executive director for Latin America and the Caribbean for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Wonderful to be with you.
What is unique about Christian confidence?
Jesus, the incarnation, and all that he did, his suffering, death, and resurrection. That is the heart of our, the Greek word is a wonderful word, parousia. And I think I always use a play on words because we have parousia, confidence, for the parousia, when Jesus comes again in his glory, which is one of the topics of this hymn. Because of the truth of the incarnation and the facts of salvation that include his atonement and his resurrection and ascension, these are the permanent things. These are the things that do not change. And because they are permanent and because they are true and because they do not change, we have the greatest confidence. Another word for confidence that is used in the New Testament is the word certainty, that we have certainty. It's at the end of Luke's prologue. And I think they're synonyms. And in Luke, the certainty comes through the narrative of Jesus' life in the gospel. And it comes through open eyes in the breaking of the bread. We have confidence because Christ continues to be present among us in preaching and the sacraments. And that is the greatest confidence we can have. And one way of putting it is that we have confidence because of our baptism. And this, and even though baptism is not mentioned in this hymn, you cannot help but think of how we died and rose with Christ in baptism, that we got our death over with in baptism and rise to a life that never ends. That is the ultimate confidence.
What do we know about the author of this Easter hymn?
Well, he's an interesting fellow, Christian Gellert. He was a professor of philosophy, really was kind of moral theology. He was a poet. He was known for his rhetoric. And he wrote at a time when there were a lot of moralistic hymns and very emotional hymns. It was during, in a way, the height of pietism and rationalism. And he comes along with this hymn that, even though it does have a bit of a moralistic character to it in verses 3 and 4, it is a hymn that proclaims the realities of the scriptures and Jesus' death and resurrection. And it really, it preaches. This is an incredibly just confident hymn. Let's use that word. It's such an incredible proclamation of the resurrection. And you can't, especially with the tune, you can't help but be inspired by this proclamation. This was a real sort of turn in the hymnody of the 18th century. He was 18th century hymn writer. Some people, you know, in terms of kind of the period of orthodoxy, they start with Luther and they end with him and the hymns that he wrote. So he is, even though most people don't know him, in terms of the history of hymnody, he's a very significant person.
What is the primary biblical text or texts for our first stanza that we'll listen to in a moment?
Well, I think you have to start with John 14:19, where Jesus, during the high priestly prayer, is talking about the promises of the Holy Spirit. And he says, "Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me," and here it is, "because I live, you also will live." Now, I think that is really Jesus lives, and his life that is in conquering death is the basis for this hymn. I think the other verses are ones that are well known to us from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 and 55, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?"
Here is the first stanza of "Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won." "Jesus lives, the victory's won. Death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives, death's reign is done. From the grave Christ will recall me. Brighter scenes will then commence. This shall be my confidence."
Jesus lives, the victory's won. Death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives, death's reign is done. From the grave will Christ
The Lutheran Public Radio Choir with stanza one of the Easter hymn, "Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won." What is this idea about being appalled by death?
Well, it's the ultimate example of original sin, and it's the end. And it's something that most human beings fear, especially those who are not of the household of faith, because there is nothing for an unbeliever after death. It's the end of all of life, and there's nothing to hope for. And I think death can also be very painful. That's one of the things we discovered when we were visiting people in Kenya, in the slums of Nairobi and in the bush to widows and orphans. You know, this was at the height of the HIV/AIDS crisis, and people were appalled by death, not so much the very death itself, but the process of dying. That it can be a very painful, horrible thing. I think that's what a lot of people feared during this pandemic, was the horrible feeling that you have during the process of death and the despair that can come from that. And so I think, I mean, death is one of the great things that human beings fear. And this is the beauty of Christianity, that death is an end, but it's also the beginning. You know, "In my end is my beginning." That's the motto of Mary's Queen of Scots. I've always loved it. It's T.S. Eliot picks up on it in his four quartets. And he also talks about "the beginning is my end." But for a Christian, the death is the entrance into eternal life. And I think that's what this hymn is all about. That's what I love saying about baptism. I mean, baptism is where we get death over with. We die with Christ. We are buried in his death. We are buried in the very death that he died to conquer death. And we rise out of the waters of baptism into a life that never ends. Even though we will die physically, we live forever in Christ because we are joined to him in those waters. And I think that's the confidence that we have. I mean, that's why death cannot appall us, because Jesus lives, and he lives in us. And he lives in our world today through the church, where he is present as the crucified and living Christ in the preaching and the sacraments. It's really the most incredible proclamation we have. And I think we forget about it. This is why this hymn is so wonderful, because it reminds us of the great joy and the confidence we should have because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He has conquered death by his death. We cannot proclaim that enough.
On the other side of that formula is what this stanza mentions, and it is mentioned often in Scripture, and that is death's reign, how death rules. How is that, Dr. Jeff?
Well, death rules in the world as we see all around us. I mean, everything, as soon as it is conceived or grown, it's going to die. And I mean, the rhythms of nature are very much a part of that. We see the beginning of life in spring, and it's flowering during the summer, and then it's death again in the autumn, and it really looks as if the world has died in the winter. I mean, it's one of the rhythms of the church year itself. I mean, Christmas itself was around the death of the light and the birth of the light, you know, with the birth of Christ. And Easter is new life and the coming of the fact that nature is now going to bloom all around us. I always love the end of the church year, because you really do get the sense of death and judgment as you see the world dying around you. So death is everywhere. And I mean, I get my coronavirus tracker every morning in my email, and how many deaths there were because of the coronavirus. It's really been a big part of the culture in this last year.
When we come back, we are going to hear the second stanza and discuss the stanza of Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won. Jesus lives, to him the throne high above all things is given. I shall go where he is gone, live and reign with him in heaven. God is faithful, doubtings hence, this shall be my confidence.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
We like our crosses full and our tombs empty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective, and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Thank you.
Stanza 2 of the Easter hymn, Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Our guest is Dr. Arthur Jest, author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth. You can purchase these resources on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Jest, this second stanza deals not just with the fact of Jesus' resurrection, but with the result of his resurrection. Talk about that.
It's a brilliant move by the author because he combines here with the resurrection, Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God in his ascension. And I think it's very important for us always to remember that the sweep of Jesus' movement in the narrative is into the grave and then up on the third day and then on the 40th back to heaven, and that the resurrection and the ascension cannot really be separated. And so because he has risen from the dead, he now reigns on high, and we with him. You can see that there's a natural progression from John 14, because I live, you will live also, to what Paul says in Colossians 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is our hope, you know, that we are already in heaven with Christ in the ascension, you know, in the ascension of Jesus in his human nature, we are assumed with him into heaven. But it's also the hope that we have when he comes again in glory in the resurrection of the body. And that when we die, and I think this is the most important thing to say about the nature of what happens to us after death, is that we are with Christ. And that is what heaven is to be with Christ. And that is why we don't have any doubts, as this verse concludes. God is faithful, doubtings hence. This shall be my confidence.
I'm curious about the connection that you drew there in your response to the resurrection and the ascension. I remember, I believe it was years ago during seminary training, I was assigned to write something about the book of Hebrews, and I noticed that the resurrection is only mentioned one time in all of the book of Hebrews. But the writer to the Hebrews usually speaks of Jesus as ascended and glorified, including the resurrection, sometimes without even mentioning the resurrection explicitly. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, I think we're talking about the exaltation of Jesus, which is what the resurrection is, his exaltation, because he has conquered death with his death, and he shows us that in his resurrected body. One of my favorite hymns in the hymnal, and it wasn't in LW, but it has reappeared in LSB, is the Christopher Wordsworth hymn, See the Lord Ascends in Triumph. And that final verse, I think, really is sort of a commentary on what the author of this hymn, Gellert, is trying to say, and that is that he has raised our human nature on the clouds in God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places, there with him in glory stand. Jesus reigns adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. By our mighty Lord's ascension, we by faith behold our own. Now just think of those words by Wordsworth and what we just heard in the second verse of this hymn. They go together, and I think that's what may have been in the mind of this author, is that if Jesus has risen from the dead, then we too, hidden in Christ with God, we are also with him in heaven and will one day be with him eternally with all the saints in the heavenly places. I mean, that's the most incredible reason for confidence that you can have.
And finally, on this stanza, it says, God is faithful, doubtings hence. What does that have to do with the resurrection?
Well, I think if you read the Old Testament, and especially the Psalms, you will see that God promises that if the Messiah comes, the Holy Righteous One, and he is obedient even to the point of death, through his sufferings, then God will raise him from the dead, because God is faithful to his promises. I mean, that's a promise that I think is shot through the entire Old Testament, and I think that's the promise that people were clinging to when Jesus comes as the Messiah. When they see that promise fulfilled in the resurrected body of Jesus with its wounds, there is no reason to doubt. We always talk about the doubting Thomas, and what is the evidence, so to speak? I always, being a Luke guy, Luke 24, when Jesus appears and eats the roasted fish in front of his disciples, the doubts flee when they see the resurrected flesh of Jesus, who has conquered death by his death, and there, and you see my hands and my feet, touch me, you know? He eats in front of them. The resurrection of the body is what shows us that there is no reason to doubt the promises of God, that he has the power not just to raise Jesus from the dead, but because we, by baptism, are in Christ, hidden with Christ in God, we have the same promise of our own resurrection of the body.
Stanza 3, Jesus lives, for me he died. Hence will I to Jesus living, pure in heart and act abide, praise to him and glory giving. All I need God will dispense. This shall be my confidence. Well, Dr. Jess, I think the choir master kind of got the point of this third stanza, didn't he?
He did. What a wonderful version here.
This solo voice speaking, as we would say, subjectively about the resurrection. What are your thoughts?
This is where, if you want to say there's a little moral theology from the author, who was a professor of moral theology, here it is. I mean, it is subjective. For me, he died. Hence will I to Jesus living. But I do think he is echoing the language of St. Paul in the verses we know so well from Romans 6, where he says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And that's what this verse is about, that newness of life. That, yes, we now live in Christ. Our hearts are pure, and we follow that pure heart with actions that are embodying who Christ is in the world, his love, his compassion, his mercy. And what it does is it leads us to worship, to doxology, to praise and glory because of what he has given us in his own death and resurrection, and how he has made us partakers of that through holy baptism. So this is a verse that talks about the reality of what it means to live today as his resurrected people. More and more, I think we need in this culture of ours to not just proclaim that, but to actually embody it. And I think that's maybe going to be the greatest witness that we can have in a culture that is getting darker and darker every day, to show people that Christ does live in us now, that the life that he brought forth from the grave lives in us because we are hidden with Christ in God. And I think that is something that is perhaps the greatest witness that we could do in the world in which we see things just unraveling around us. This verse is certainly subjective, but it does bring it home to our everyday newness of life in Christ.
I'm put in mind of Jesus' famous, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And I think we Lutherans sometimes have avoided that because we think Jesus is somehow talking about the glory of our works rather than the glory of the Father that is seen when that light of Christ is seen in us.
Exactly. I mean, I think sanctification or, you know, Christian living or good works is, I think people overthink it. I mean, what people should see in us is Christ and everything that he embodies. And that starts with love. It means forgiving. It means being merciful and compassionate, being charitable. It means really kind of all the fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians 5. Those are fruits that we see first and foremost in Christ. And I think that more and more, that is the way in which people are going to be drawn to the church, especially in a world in which those things are not seen. And people are you know, living in a very contentious, broken world right now. And I think, especially with the pandemic, a dark world where death is all around us. If we can show the confidence that we have, even though we may be facing death, that we have in Christ, and that we have I didn't mention joy, the joy that we have in being his resurrected people, I think people will see that being a Christian does change your life. It does change your way of living. It does change the way in which you look at the world. And it's the greatest thing that you can have.
Is that living part of Christian confidence?
Absolutely. I mean, you know it when you see people who have that, you know, kind of just rock solid Christian faith that they just seem to be able to manage anything. And that doesn't mean that they don't have sorrow, but it doesn't mean they don't have grief, doesn't mean that they don't have anger or things like that. But they are able to understand those deeply difficult human emotions through their faith and through the life of Jesus. And what it also means is that many of these things that cause us such harm in our life, our sins, our temptations, grief over death, sorrow, they have meaning in a way that they don't have for others because their meaning is found in Christ and his victory over death. I think it changes the way people see reality when they have that kind of confidence from Christ's death and resurrection.
When we return, stanza 4, Jesus lives, I know full well, nothing me from him shall sever, neither death nor powers of hell part me now from Christ forever. God will be my sure defense, this shall be my confidence. How should Lutherans respond to the assertion, your church is too Catholic? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joshua Pauling traces his path from big box evangelicalism and Reformed Calvinism to the treasures of historic Christianity found in the Lutheran Church, the free online Issues Etc. Journal.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
At the center of our campus is Kramer Chapel, and there's a reason for that.
Issues, Etc. guest, Dr. Arthur Just.
Because it is the heartbeat of Concordia Theological Seminary. It is where we go to hear the voice of Jesus and frequently be fed with the body and blood of Christ. We sometimes call it our Jerusalem. Kramer Chapel points to the classroom, which we sometimes call Athens. It is there that we do theology, biblical studies, systematic theology, practical theology, history. We love theology here, and we love the study of it, and we love coming together in worship. It's one of the things that gives us great joy. Joy in worshiping, joy in studying theology. Concordia Theological Seminary is all about the joy of being in Jesus.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu. Stanza 4 of the Easter hymn, Jesus Lives, the Victories, One. We are studying this hymn with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So, Dr. Just, what biblical text is driving this stanza?
Well, of all the stanzas, I think this one is the most obvious. It's a well-known passage from Romans 8, verses 33 to 39. It's a brilliant kind of distillation of this passage. If you don't mind, I think it's worth reading the whole thing. It's a poetic part of Paul's epistle to the Romans. He says, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord."
So what is St. Paul saying there about this resurrection of Jesus and how it makes us inseparable from Christ?
Well, whenever we are threatened by death and hell, whenever we have a fear of it, God will defend us from that, because those of us who are baptized into Christ, we cannot be severed from him. The confidence we have in Christ, no matter what happens to us, and Paul gives you this long litany of the things that in his day and in ours should be things that sometimes overwhelm us, that in Christ Jesus, those who are baptized into his death and resurrection, we have the great confidence of knowing that he will defend us. That's why that last line is so important. God will be my sure defense. I think we need to remind ourselves that we're not alone, that Jesus is our captain in the well-fought fight. He goes before us into the battle, and we simply conquer in him because he's the one who has conquered Satan and death for us. And that's why we, you know, we hide in his wounds. We are buried with him in death so that we might see him as our great leader in the fight against the principalities and powers of this world.
When we hear about not being separated from Christ, that doesn't necessarily mean that we won't be separated from the other things in this world. I think about Luther's famous hymn, "Take they our life, good fame, child, wife." Christians may anticipate the loss of these things, but never of Christ. What are your thoughts?
I think that's the sign of great faith, when you begin to be in a position where you do face great loss, especially the loss of life, that there is an incredible peace that comes upon you, and that you begin to recognize first things and permanent things. What are the things that finally matter? Those people who face death will often find incredible confidence in Christ, even when they're at the brink of death. I think any pastor who has regularly visited people on their deathbed oftentimes come away having been strengthened and even consoled by the person who's dying or the person who is gravely ill. At the end of the day, I think we all realize that the only thing that matters is, you know, our union with Christ, and that union is what will endure forever. That is the most permanent thing there is. That's the ultimate truth. And that is why we have the confidence that we can sing about in this hymn.
Here is stanza 5. Jesus lives, and now is death but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm my trembling breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry as fails each sense, Jesus is my confidence. Dr. Just, I've noticed this in several Easter hymns over the decades, that Jesus' death and resurrection often causes the hymn writer to contemplate his own death. Why is that?
Well, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all at some point think about death. I mean, maybe younger people don't as much, but I know as I grow older, I think more and more about death. And you know, when you lose your parents, you, of course, are faced with that. And I mean, people have really been faced with the loss of life in this pandemic. Of all the verses of this hymn, I think this is the one that speaks most clearly to me. And I think it might to many, because it does bespeak the reality of what happens to people when they face death. The weakness, the trembling breath, the fact that your senses begin to fail. You don't see or hear or smell, or you've lost your kind of what makes you human. You're facing that moment when you're going to pass into a new reality. And what cries out for the believer is faith. And faith is, you know, what gives us the confidence that when our bodily senses and our life begins to leave us, that this is now the gate to life immortal. I think this verse is very much like the first verse. I think there's a nice little frame there, although I think this is obviously a little more personal focus on our own death. But it is about the fact that the victory is won, that death no longer can appall me because of my faith and my confidence in Jesus. Notice that it says there, Jesus is my confidence. You asked at the beginning, what is the this? Well, he tells you right here now what it is. Jesus is my confidence. I also think it's really very realistic to talk about it as a gloomy portal. There is sorrow. There is grief. There is a loss. I mean, death is a horrible thing in some ways, and it, especially for those left behind, and even for those who are, you know, dying. It can be a horrible thing, but as I said earlier, those who are baptized have gotten death over with. So even though this is a gloomy portal, we know that we will live forever. And I think we need to talk more and more about life eternal and immortality and how important that is to the Christian and how the life that we live in this world is lived the way it's lived because of that confidence in what will happen after death, and how death, even though it is a gloomy portal, is the gate to life immortal.
What biblical text do you think stands behind this final stanza?
Well, I think it is in some ways a summary of all the texts that we've been talking about. If there's one I would have to pick, I think I would pick Romans 6. And I think this is, when I was preparing this study and looking at these verses, this is the one that reminded me most of my baptism. And I think that the idea of the font being the portal to eternal life is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. And that's exactly what Romans 6 is all about.
And what about this notion that, and I'm thinking here of Paul in Philippians, facing the imminence of his own death with the confidence where he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Yeah. That's a great, maybe that passage is in mine. It didn't come up in any of my research, but now that you mention it, I think that's a wonderful text to use here as a commentary on this verse. Yeah, death is gain. I mean, that's what I think we mean when we say we get death over with, because we've conquered death, so that death is no longer something to be feared, but something to anticipate as the entrance into a new reality. I mean, we don't really, in a sense, die. I mean, we die physically, but we live eternally. And that is the greatest gain that you could possibly have.
We're studying the Easter hymn, Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won. Our guest is Dr. Arthur Jess, Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where they form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu. or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. After the break, we'll hear the entire hymn, Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won, and get Dr. Just's final thoughts.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Hosea with Not Listening, The Useless Idol, Time to Seek the Lord, I Loved Him, and Yahweh's Compassions. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or on your favorite podcast provider.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Built on the rock, children of the Heavenly Father, on my heart imprint your image, rejoice, rejoice, believers, and so much more. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2021 Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Northern Lights, Danish and Scandinavian Hymns. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Jesus,
Easter hymn, Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won. Dr. Just, what are your final thoughts on this hymn?
Many years ago, when our children were in elementary school, one of them brought home a banner that says, Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won. And every year on our front door, my wife hangs that. It's very dear to us. I think it is because it is the greatest proclamation of the Christian faith. The fact that Christ has been raised from the dead and conquered death by his death is what distinguishes us from any other religion. It is the heart of our faith, and in these days in which death is all around us, and many people are grieving the loss of loved ones and friends, we need to proclaim this to the world, and we need to show the confidence that this confession of faith gives us as Christians. I pray that this Easter season will be a wonderful time to reflect on what makes us Christian, that we have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ and risen to a life that never ends, and that this is what is our chief identity in this world of ours. And I pray that it will be a great comfort to those who have lost loved ones, that death perhaps was appalling, perhaps it was a gloomy portal, but even more, that death, because of Christ's death and resurrection, is the gate of life immortal.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, associate executive director for Latin America and the Caribbean for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth. Dr. Just, thank you, and Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Folks, if you appreciate our hymn studies, please join our monthly or annual giving program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. When you become a member during the 50 days of Easter, we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, broadcast transcripts, books, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Learn more about becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Next hour, we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher about the resurrected Jesus appearing to his disciples in John chapter 20. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
In the Confession of Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Have you ever wished you could see Ad Crucem's products before buying them? Well, now you can. Ad Crucem has opened our brand new workshop in Littleton, Colorado. Come visit us and watch how we make our Christmas ornaments. Check out the quality and fabric of our church banners, or choose some greeting cards, posters, icons, or jewelry. Of course, if you can't make it to Colorado, we are still open online. For details or directions, visit adcrucem.com. That's ADC. RUCEM.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.